Do we look irresponsible? Is it irresponsible to allow our children to be... I mean, this is a dangerous... This is danger. I mean, literally at that point, I was terrified.
Hi, Dee.
Tiffany, it's Christmas time, and welcome back to Readouting. How are you?
I'm good. I wish all of our listeners could see. Maybe I'll have to post it on Instagram for them. My Christmas tree in the background.
That's exactly what I had in mind. It's beautiful, and I know that you spent a lot of time putting this together. We haven't even gotten started on ours. Remember, we did talk about Christmas last year.
Yeah, we did.
And how it means different things to us.
Yeah, it's that season. And I just feel like moms are so responsible for creating all the magic of Christmas.
Yeah.
And especially as a single mom, I mean, this is just so much stress, especially in the U.S., because there's from what I had my schedule was like Halloween. And in the U.S., Halloween's not just one day. It's a series of parties and dressing up and leading up to all of that. And then right after Olive's birthday, which was always a huge blowout bash for us, which is a non-negotiable, had to and wanted to.
Yeah.
Right after that, Thanksgiving, which is like traveling and holiday and family stuff and cooking and everything, right? And then right after that, Christmas season begins. And with all that, there's classroom parties, there's work parties, there's friend gifts that Olive wanted to get, there's decorations, there's this... Elf on the Shelf every day until Christmas. I mean, it's enough to make your head explode. And one of the things I've been working on a lot is to like enjoy more.
And moving
over here, and there was COVID and like everything was so weird and like I couldn't even go home. And I just wanted to start to take back. Like, one, shove off the things I don't want and don't like that don't bring me joy and only stress me out. The other thing was to do the things on my schedule, on my calendar, that give me joy. And I decided that my Christmas tree is one of them. And Olive and I put it up the weekend of Thanksgiving. And it's got these sweet little twinkly lights. And every day when we plug it in, it like gives us so much joy. And we just love it.
Oh, gosh, you are early. You're early. When was Thanksgiving? Like 2 weeks back, no?
Yeah, it's at the end of November.
Oh, gosh.
Actually, I feel like this could be a whole other episode now. I'm sorry.
We should club these episodes together. We need to be churning out more episodes than we can so that Thanksgiving gets its day. Christmas gets its day. Diwali gets its day, you know, my festival as well. You're talking about single family, but look from also the angle of a multicultural family where I get into this pressure of celebrating everything that my country offers. And there is, I think we could probably celebrate every month.
I was so bummed. Weren't you in India? I mean, I'm happy for you, right? But you were in India for Diwali this year, weren't you?
Yeah, that was a fabulous time. And Halloween.
I was supposed to get to celebrate with you this year.
You know what? There would always be another chance. And next year, we're going to do that. What's funny is I didn't even realize that we've celebrated Christmas together. So this is our second Christmas as friends. And it's been that long, Tiffany.
Technically, it's our third Christmas together. But as a podcast, like real IRL, like actually friends, you're right. This is our second.
As friends.
Yes.
This episode is about friendship and. In fact, unlikely friends, as we are.
Yeah. I use this term. I said unlikely, but what does that even mean? Actually, when I know you and I know Kat, like, it seems very obvious now. Yeah. But when I met you and when I met Kat, I could have never guessed what that would become. Like, when you meet a person... I think especially as adults, I feel like almost everybody could identify with this, that sometimes you meet a person in your life, and when you meet them, you have no idea. You just have no idea how big of a part.
What's going to become.
Yes. And it's not until looking back that you're like, oh, wow. I'm so glad that happened.
Oh, absolutely. And I've heard this conversation before. I know you came back from your holiday and you were excited about this new friendship. And then the next thing I know is you're having another round of holiday with the newfound friend within
two.
Few months, a few weeks. Of, you couldn't have enough. So wasn't surprised when you were excited that you wanted to have this conversation recorded. And I had a fun listening to it as well. And I think this is a great one to friendships that just become.
Absolutely. To friendship.
Woo! To us.
Catherine, hello. Or as I've come to know you as Kat. How are you?
Yes. I'm fine, thank you.
I'm so happy to have you joining me today on Rerouting. This is a little bit of a different show. I've had a lot of my friends on the show, but this one is really an episode just about that, about our friendship and the unique way that it started. And I guess we're not the only ones that this has happened to. I've heard of other people who gain friends this way, but it definitely feels like something special.
Yes. Honestly, it's not something that I would have expected on a holiday. And it's not something that I look for either, to be honest. But it was such a natural meeting. And I think that's really testament to you being such an open person and so interesting. And then because you were so interesting, I was like, I want to know more.
For me, I also felt this instant connection. And we're going to get into how and where we met and how this friendship evolved. Tell all our listeners, introduce yourself. Mm-hmm. Who are you? Tell us about your kid.
That is honestly, that question about to introduce myself is probably plagued me all my life because I never know what to say. It happened to me the other day and I was just like, and they were like, where'd you come from? I'm like, oh, I come from anywhere you want, really. So yeah, I'm 53. I am a mother of a 13-year-old. So in some people's eyes, a late mother. I live in the Netherlands and I've been here for over 20-odd years. And I would say that most of my life, I've worked in learning and development. So I'm a professional. I've studied a lot. My job defines an awful lot about who I am or did until I had a child. And then the child came along and turned my world upside down. I would say I'm an introvert, although most people see me as an extrovert in my life.
Interesting.
But I'm also someone who loves to be active and to try new things.
And maybe some people can pinpoint the accent. Where are you originally from?
I'm from Devon in the southwest of England, Exeter, actually. My whole family are still there. But I remember once I left home at 16 and moved to Plymouth to go to college, and that's still in Devon. But then after that, I moved to West Sussex in the east side of England, the southeast. And I remember once having an interview for university and the lady said, where are you from? You sound Antipodean.
Huh?
And of course, I had no idea what she meant.
I had no idea what that means.
Like, but I knew I wasn't from there. So I basically said,
it's,
I'm
it's
from
It's like a town or a region or a... It could also be like a profanity. Like if somebody told me I sound, I'd be like, wow, I'm offended.
It's the Antipodes, which is the islands of Australia, New Zealand, that area.
Look at me showing my American and lack of general geography. Oh, how embarrassing.
Yeah, well, I didn't know either. So, you know, and of course, I've traveled a lot. I've met a lot of people and I've been in Holland for 20 years. So I think my accent, I don't know what my accent is, but I do know I don't speak in the same way as my sisters.
Gotcha. Obviously, I know a lot more about you now. And it's also clear, like, of course, we were fast friends. But when we met, it really wasn't even because we met. It was more because of our girls. We were in Gran Canaria. Is that the English way you say it?
Grand Canaria.
Thank you. I only ever heard the word in German and also at the airport in Japan.
Of course.
And I, being the American that I am, had actually never heard of the islands before that. So that was the only Grand Canaria. And it was last fall. Oh my God. We're like coming up on our year anniversary of meeting. Yeah. And gosh, it was such an interesting vacation. One, it was all inclusive, and I've never done that, like this resort thing. Okay. The other thing was, I was very much at a place in my life where I was not on vacation to make friends. I wanted to be left the hell alone. Coming out of COVID, like I wanted to be out. I wanted to lay by the pool. I wanted to read my book. I had this hope that Olive would enjoy that as well without, like, you know, splashing me too much or expecting me to be in the pool the whole time, because I, like, wanted to be alone. And then I met you, and you were, like, the one person there. And Ken, I mean, we cannot forget about your husband, Ken, who is, how do I describe Ken? I mean, he is such a kindred spirit to me, especially knowing that he and I both have ADHD. There was just like this recognition of myself in him. And my God, the man is just a riot. And I remember bonding over the Nutella stand and what specific hours that operated and when you could get in line and wait for the crate.
I remember that.
Yeah. Oh my God, I do too. And we, like, even the day before, we were looking forward to this. Can we just talk about what a psychology experiment an all-inclusive resort is?
Oh my. Yeah, yeah. And for me, it was really a risk to go all-inclusive. The only thing I knew was that all our holidays are so active. Mm-hmm. We always have to spend time looking for hotels and everything. And I was tired and exactly the same as you. I just wanted to go somewhere and not make any decisions and be by the pool and read. Yes. And then you have this whole dynamic, this whole thing. And this was what was weird about Gran Canaria as well, is there was an awful lot of Germans there.
Oh,
funny enough,
this is one of the things.
The towels were down.
The towel. The thing about the towels. Oh my God! Please, please, please explain this.
Within the English circles, the thing about this has been going on for
centuries, millennia.
Yes, I was going to say thousands of years. Is that the Germans get up early at the resort and they put their towel on their bed, even though there are signs saying you are not allowed to, and they take up all the best beds by the pool. And I don't know what time they do it, because I got up really early one day to do it, and it was, they had already done it.
And there are some really strange things about it, right? It's not that everybody brings their like self-branded monogram towel and lays it on the chair by the pool. Literally everyone in this resort has the exact same hotel-issued white towel. This is where I'm like, God, humans just believe anything. Like, because everyone accepted, oh, that's someone else's chair because that's not my towel. It's the same towel. What is happening? And I really thought, you know, if I had the energy and wanted to deal with anyone on this trip, I would go down and just be there before they got there and say, oh, no, you must be mistaken, because this actually was my towel. Because what would they know?
They wouldn't know.
And at first, when I learned of this phenomenon, because this was a completely new thing to me, and mind you, I had, you know, just been through a pandemic in a new country full of Germans, so I wanted a break, and I had no idea that I was actually traveling to Little Germany. Like, I had no idea. And so when I got there, and I am in one of the like strongest institutions of Germany that you can imagine, which is this like morning towel business. I was like, no, like, how did I end up here? And I just said, no, I will not comply. I will not be a part of this. I'm not doing it. And by Thursday, when I realized I hadn't had a chair all week that was in a decent location. I was like, oh my God, they are like molding me. I have no choice.
You know, I did exactly the same. I had 2 or 3 days where I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to cope. And you're right. You end up having the towers where everybody's walking by. You get no peace. You just got people
no
by
great
all the
pool
time.
Access, maybe in the shade or in the direct sun, no umbrella. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and then no little stool. Because what they do, what I realized by Thursday, was that if you get down early enough, you move the chairs, you take the umbrella, you take your side table, and you get yourself set up. And so that's what happened to me Thursday. And we found, actually, that was the day, I think, that we were near each other. Because we actually got early.
We set up. So Olive, God bless her, she is like my little early bird. She is my morning glory. And so when she was up, we were like, you got to take some towels down for us. I still wasn't brave enough or ready to like abandon my pride enough to go do it myself. But I sent my offspring.
I sent my husband.
God bless him.
God bless him.
So yeah, it was amazing that the girls met for, I think mostly for us. I think also for them. But I don't know about you. I barely saw all of the rest of the week. It was like, going to meet Bobby. We're going to the arcade.
At some point, I felt really guilty because the aim of this holiday was also to bond with her. And then at a certain point, I'm like, I haven't had a chance to. And I'm like, you will eat with us today. No, I'm eating with Olive. There was this big thing. I said, no, today you have to eat with us because I'm not going to have a whole holiday without seeing you. But indeed, they were happy.
Yeah, I too had like my super guilty moments because even at dinner, we weren't like catching up. I knew that they were at the pool and then I knew that in general, you know where they are.
We knew they were safe.
Yeah, it wasn't really that, but it was just like, we are having different vacations now. But at the end of it, I finally just realized, you know what? I needed that just as much as she did.
I agree. I'll let you tell the story where that connection was, but there's always a, in the back of your mind when you go on holiday, there is a dream that your child will either you will have a great mother-daughter building relationship or your child will be enjoying themselves and meet new people or meet new friends because you see it always happening. But that's not what happens with Bobby normally because she's usually somewhere where the language is not, you know, we go to France, she won't connect to French kids because she doesn't understand them or we go, you know. Yeah. So that was why it was also really special for us.
So speaking of that night and how and when they met, knowing you and talking to you and having the other side of the story was absolutely hysterical. Because I remember, I want to say maybe it was our second night there. I think you guys had just arrived, or maybe it was the other way around.
Yeah, we had just arrived. It was our very first few hours, actually.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, actually, we couldn't have facilitated this any sooner then.
No.
So, oh gosh, I just remember we'd already had dinner and we were outside and there was some kind of performance thing happening. And we were in the crowd, like further to the back because it had been going on for some time and we just kind of stumbled in upon it and said, okay, let's check this out for a little bit. And Olive... I mean, I was tired, right? Like, she's, like, ready to party and so cool and look at all this stuff and, like, shiny and loud and, you know, entertaining. And I'm just like, oh, God, let's go sit at this thing for a minute. Like, maybe she'll be entertained. And she sees Bobby getting down and having a blast, dancing, and Olive has Olive is quirky. And one of the things I love the most about her is that she has this ability, and I hope it doesn't get lost. I know in these like teenage years, it wavers, but I think even at some point it will come back. But this ability to dance like no one is watching.
Yeah.
And Bobby had that. And I could tell that Olive was like drawn to this, right? And she wanted so badly. To like, I think she thought like, well, there's going to be a moment and we're going to like nod or acknowledge each other and then start hanging out. At least enjoy this little thing together. Yeah. And as it went, that didn't happen. And what happened was you guys got up and left. And Olive was almost in tears. I mean, she was just so like, oh, no. Because I was saying, go talk to her. Just go say hi. See where she's from, you know. And she was just like, no, just leave her. Just leave her, you know. And when you guys went away, I said, Olive, go after her. Just run. Just go, go, go. And I took away all of the ability to think because I was like, do it now. Just go do it right now. And she did. She just ran after her. And then I don't know what happened exactly because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
You were.
Oh, it was really, really cool because I saw Bobby dancing and I saw this other little girl dancing, and they were almost dancing in the same way. That was what was so cool. Yeah. And I said to Bob, oh, there's a girl, there's a nice girl there like this. And Bobby just doesn't do anything I ask of her, so I didn't want to push it. So we left, we were tired, we just, you know, just arrived. We got to the lift, and then this kind of whirlwind just rushed up. Of course, it was Olive.
What a way to describe Olive, so accurate.
And she said something like, do you want to hang out? At least to Bobby. And that was it. And Bobby said, yeah, sure. And then they left. And then me and Ken went back up into our room because we were like, okay, then she's safe. They're fine.
Later.
And yeah. And it started to, it was such a beautiful friendship, the way they hung out together as well. I mean, it was
so immediate. And like, I never, not once, you know, when you were little, I don't know if this happened to you, but after you would spend so much time with somebody, eventually you were just like sick of them. You needed a break.
Yeah.
And I think as like a parent on the other side, I was also sometimes like, let's give it a break. Like, let's let it breathe for a second. Maybe hang out with no, we have plans. We're going to. And I mean, they forged a whole new life without us this whole week. They had people, I mean, other kids they were hanging out with. Yeah. They had a schedule themselves. And I remember one morning, because I wanted to be a part. You know, I started to feel a little left out. And she was heading off and so excited and had her towel and her pool stuff. And she said, okay, I'm going. And she left. And we had the balcony that overlooked the pool area.
Yeah.
And I kind of watched her like a creep. I would be remiss to omit the fact that everything is unlimited, like all inclusive meets unlimited. And they had these slushies.
Yes.
Like a machine. And man, they were flowing all day for Olive. And I see her walking down and she disappears like underneath this hut. She's in there for, you know, a bit, like she wasn't just walking through. And then eventually I see her come out the other side and she's got a slushie in each hand, her towel slung over. It's like 9 a.m. She is ready to start. And I thought, oh my God, how precious.
I mean, the thing is that both of them, they are our little girls. But they were so like little adults when they were there. They were so independent. They like went and had their lunch together. I mean, I would walk around just checking up to see if everything was okay. And I'd see Bobby and Bobby would sort of see me and then sort of turn as if to ignore me, to sort of like, keep out of my bubble, Mom. I don't need you right now. They were unbelievable. And I know that Olive was, you know, being a translator because there's lots of German kids, which Bobby couldn't understand the language of. So there was this Olive is translator for the boys and girls that they were hanging around with.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, yeah. I found myself like, you know, like when your friend goes on a date and you want to know all the details, like at the end of every day, I was like, tell me, like, what'd you do? Where were you guys at? Like, were you just at the pool the whole time or did you, you know, I was so curious.
Yeah.
And there is this one resort worker, this guy, and it's like a lot of like 20 somethings, you know, younger people. And going back to the psychology of the resort life, you really fall into like this schedule. I felt like rats in a maze at one point. Like I gained some consciousness and was like, oh my God, because I was like, well, it's this time. It's time to head over to like, you know, this hut. And yeah. I was just like, oh my God, I am not an individual anymore. I am a part of this whole thing. And there was this one resort worker. And he really could have been like in a comedy movie because he did everything there. But like, I didn't know it. The first day when you're just kind of getting to know this whole thing, I was like, ooh, there's yoga at 10. Oh, I'm definitely going to do yoga. Right. And I go and it's this guy and like, he is going between this like cobra thing and then like downward dog like 100 times to the point where my back was getting sore. And then I was watching him do some of the yoga and I was like, I don't think he's actually like a yoga instructor. But I was also very like, just go with it, be a part of it, you know, just take it for what it is. And then 10 minutes later, which there was this morning song that they would do to kind of get the party started. You know what I'm talking about, yeah?
Yeah, I do.
10 minutes later, I see this same yoga guy dragging this giant speaker over to the middle of the pool section where the tiki bar is. And then I see him leading this kickoff morning song. And it's choreographed. And I was like, what? Okay. I still didn't wake up then. Like, I thought, interesting. He does that too. And then a half an hour later, I see him leading the spin class in the pool. And I'm just like, this dude is on cocaine. Like how? I joked at one point because I said, you know, they had also all these spa services. And you could get your hair cut there. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
You could get your hair cut there. And I thought, oh my God, if I walked in and that guy's holding a pair of scissors, I wouldn't even be shocked.
Yeah. It's almost like, I don't know if you know the program, it's Heidi High, which is a very, very old 1970s program in the UK. And it was basically a holiday resort like that and all the staff and them having the yellow coats and doing all the entertainment and the arrangements and everything. But
I felt like a part of the Truman Show.
It was certainly in some show. It was definitely we were playing part.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess the quicker you just lean into it and accept it, right, the better. But this guy, so the girls one night, they had a movie for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
And they showed up. And this guy, because he's like the actual mascot of the entire resort, apparently, he's there and he sees them. And it was for kid 12 and under. And Olive had, she was still 11. Her 12th birthday was coming. And I think Bobby was, what, 11, 12? Because they're very close.
She was 12, yeah. She's a year old.
She was 12, yeah. And he said, well, aren't you girls a little old to be here? And did you know this?
No.
Oh, okay. No. You're going to love this. He said, well, aren't you girls a little old to be here? And the girl said, no. And Olive said to him, aren't you a little old to be here? And I think she was kidding, obviously. But it hit a nerve in him. Like he knew he should be doing something else with his life. But at some point he became the man there and, you know, gave up his dreams of leaving the island or well, whatever. Yeah. And like didn't even respond and just sat down in a beanbag chair and started eating the popcorn.
Oh,
so like not only were our girls like people knew them, they like ran things. They were like these top girls. And I remember one night where we met up to go pick them up. Like we got lucky and ended up around each other at one point, yeah. Or would go just check in and get to know each other and chat a little. And I remember you were reading The Midnight Library. Or Ken was.
Yes.
Ken was. because you had finished it. I had just finished it as well. And there were even in the edition, you had like these extra chapters at the end on a different character. And we just connected on so many things. But this one night, we were going to go and pick up the girls together because we had told them, okay, you can stay at the arcade until like 10 o'clock or something. And I remember we were walking there and you were like, how do you think we're going to find them? And I was like, well, I don't know. And you said, well, do you think they're like with boys? And I thought, what? No. And that evening when we rolled up, I learned what a naive human being I was. And I thought in that moment, oh my God, I need this mom in my life because she knows things and I don't know anything. I was just like, oh my God, how dense can I be?
I think this is actually really interesting because it's a little bit of a segue, but I know what I was doing at the age of 12, 13, and I lived in a village where there was nothing to do but to hang around boys. Nothing's happening, but we're hanging around boys. And last night, Bobby came home a little bit late from a barbecue and she was with some boys. And so this morning I'm like, oh, so how old is this boy? And she said, 15. And I'm like, and I went, is he gay or straight? Because she said, he's gay. And my relief was palpable. You can hang out all night with 15-year-old gay boy.
Great. They're the best.
I know that I'm kind of in my head because I know how it is, you know, 15-year-old boys. So.
Yeah. And then come to find out, they had been hanging around the arcade.
Yes.
And so had these boys.
Yes.
And they knew them. There was a whole other, like there was this resort life we were all rats in and there were their like subdivisions.
Yes.
And they had their own little vacation, these kids, the whole week.
Yeah, they really connected with some of those kids actually, I think. And then weren't they playing something like jacks or something on the floor? Olive was doing something with a ball, something. It was a really kind of...
She brought jacks. Yes.
That's what they were doing, something like
that. Yes, they were like having these hardcore jacks competitions.
Yes, there's always competition with those two as well.
You know that moment at the beginning when Olive... When you guys left and she had this super tense reaction, when we were getting ready to leave and it was, you know, the last day we were going to be able to hang out at the pool because the next morning we were heading back, I also started getting this with you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, am I that weirdo person that doesn't read signals? Like being a part of another country, especially with Germans, I had to reevaluate every human interaction I was having and what their truth was versus what my truth was. I just had this sense that you had experienced so much. We had come to so many of the same conclusions through our experiences and maybe even doubted ourselves as mothers in some of the same ways that I actually now think it's probably quite universal.
Mm. Yeah.
But... You know, we were talking about some of those things and our identities, hugely rooted in our careers and then hugely rooted in our motherhood.
And our childhood.
And acknowledgement of how that played out and the ways we did and didn't want to raise our girls because of said things. Mm. And I just thought, oh, no. She's going to walk away and I'm not going to see her again. It was really like a moment like Olive had when Bobby left. And I remember how panicked she was. Oh, no, I just let it go.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I'm just going to be a weirdo. Like, let's just see what happens. I was like, here is my number. Can I get yours? And I was just like, maybe she doesn't want to give me her number. Like, I don't want to make her feel like just to like trade numbers with me. Like, oh, God, this weird girl at the pool is... Yeah. Like not letting it go. Like, hey, girl, we had a moment and move on. And it was probably even a little bit of a moment of vulnerability for me. But then I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put it out there. And who knows? just who knows? Maybe we see each other again one day, maybe never again. Maybe she sends me some great book, you know, suggestions. And yeah. So I mean, gave you my number.
I think for me, you doing that was really an act of courage. And that's my another word that I'm going to be using quite a lot in the future, because I think that's something that I have the courage to be vulnerable is understated, really. Mm-hmm. And for me, I've traveled a lot. I've backpacked. I've met hundreds of people. I have exchanged numbers. Usually I'm the sort of person that doesn't think that people will find me interesting, so I don't put myself out there. But because you're American and you were asking, it was a normal thing, because that's what Americans are more forward with in my experience. I was so happy that you did. I probably wouldn't have. And I would have gone away. And to the next point, when we talk a bit about our holiday that we had recently, was that I have never would do that. I am a real introvert. I don't think that anybody would see me as interesting or want to be a friend of me in that way. That's not who, you know.
Okay, you have to note, you are interesting.
Oh, thank you. No, but I'm super pleased. But what was really interesting about your connection we made, and of course, I listened to your podcast, and a lot of it was that you're a super interesting person as well. And we chatted by the pool and you told me a few things. And I was like, yeah, I thought about you. But it just happened. I said something to Bobby about, yeah, you should keep in touch with Olive. And she's like, yeah, we do. You know,
and I forgot there's this whole other relationship that was happening the whole time. Yeah. They were texting and calling and remaining friends the whole time. I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
It's just so bizarre, you know, and then, you know, coming in the summer thinking, okay, so how do we get to see you guys, and how do we, you know, how do I allow or help Bobby to maintain this relationship, because it's a distance, obviously a long distance one, although internet makes it so much easier than in our time. And I know she wanted to come to Berlin. Bobby loves cities. She's been to Paris, so, you know, she just loves to go places. So when I suggested it, she was just like, woo, let's go, you know. That's how we ended up contacting you, to see if you were around, for one thing. And then you invited us.
Which I never thought you would take me up on that. I remember saying hey, if you're in Berlin, and you also said, yeah, and if you're by us, and I thought, yeah, okay, this is what people say now. I was like, but I mean it, and I meant it, so why shouldn't I have believed that you meant it?
Well, to be honest with you, I've never done that. Never. I'm 53. I've never imposed on someone else's life.
Even your text was, are you guys going to be around?
Yeah.
And I was like, come stay with us.
Yes. It was so nice. And then we were like, can we stay 3 nights? And I know that's
And I was
a bit
like,
much.
4 nights, 5 nights, come. And you even said, listen, I'll take the girls. Don't worry about. And I was like, oh no, I'm taking work off. We're doing a whole girls' weekend. I took a few days off at the end of the week, and I am so glad.
Oh, we
had so much fun, and it's I think not a huge secret. Berlin is not my favorite city. It is not even in my top five. I have struggled. There are so many things culturally I cannot. I have really tried to be a part of the blend here, and I can't. And I mean, maybe I don't give myself enough credit, but there's also a part of me that just doesn't want to. There are so many things about this city I cannot love. And therefore, especially with COVID, thing that could have been enjoyed, I never got to enjoy.
Yeah.
And so when you came, it was one of the first and longest stretches that I enjoyed this city. I thoroughly enjoyed the city, and I got to see it from a different perspective of a tourist.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. I mean, who could imagine that, you know, the first night our girls were on those skate things going on
the scooters, the e-scooters, which I work in mobility. I hate these scooters. I hate them as a citizen who trips on them all over the place. I hate seeing them laying by the river. I hate these things so much. I mean, I work for a car sharing company even, you know, and so these things just get under my skin so bad. Oh. And that night, we were all on them, and we were like, woo!
They were brilliant. It was really the best
part. We were
part.
Children. It was so fun.
We were. And then at the paddle boarding also, that was just something I've always wanted to do. And Bobby was that, you know, she loved it and we've got a lot we can say about that. But for me, the most favorite part was when we went for our cycle together through Berlin as well. I mean, it was such a wonderful, such fun.
And again, part of being able to enjoy myself so thoroughly as a mom is when I know all of it's having fun.
Yeah.
And the girls were just absolutely, and to use your word, absolutely knackered. They had been all over. They had walked. They had paddle boarded. It was hot. I mean, we were literally having a heat wave.
Yeah. Yes.
They wanted to stay home, lay in front of the TV, and eat pizza.
Yeah.
And they did. And what did we want? To get away from them.
Yes. It's true.
Yeah. We went to Tempelhofer Feld. We, you know, had our little bike there. And God, you're so from Amsterdam. Like, your biking abilities. I mean, I like to believe I'm a fairly fit person, but I could not keep up with you on this bike.
I admit, I do love to cycle, though. I do. And I love to go fast. But it was an experience because we went to... And that was what was lovely about it. I mean, I loved Berlin from what we did. And we did some really... We did cultural stuff as well. We went to the museum and we did some really nice... Went to a beautiful restaurant with tapas and stuff. Really, I thoroughly enjoyed it. But it wasn't until I come back to Amsterdam that I felt a little bit of what you felt there. There was something different because I felt the energy rise when I got to Amsterdam, you know. But then we did go to Bavaria on holiday a couple of weeks ago and did the same kind of things like paddle boarding and that. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. The German people were so friendly. I mean, it was really lovely area. But yeah,
Bavaria is definitely a different vibe.
Yeah.
You know, I just love our relationship more and more. And when I got this picture from you, the silhouette of you standing on your paddleboard, paddle high up in the air, I mean, you just look like you were conquering life. And I knew that you bought that paddleboard because of our trip.
Yeah.
So my very good friend, Susanna, that you've now met as well, she is the one who inspired me and pushed me to finally just say, I'm doing it. Because I was also thinking about it, but I didn't really have anyone to go with. I didn't know anybody who'd done it. I rented one a couple times, but she had one. And she was like, oh my God, please just hit buy now and let's go. Mm-hmm. So she really gave me that gift and then created all these experiences that I felt so comfortable to say, oh my God, no, guys, you're going to love it. Let's go do the thing. I knew where to, you know, load in. I felt so comfortable with the whole thing. And so I felt like someone had given me that gift. And to see you also receiving that gift, if you will, and just enjoying yourself so much, I was so happy. I absolutely love that.
Yeah. No, and thank you for it because it was really, it's truly amazing. And it's another thing, another activity that I know I love. Everybody's doing it. I've been looking at it. Mm-hmm. And because you were so easy to show me as well, I mean, you were my instructor. You tutored me on how to do it. We were very calm. There was no hassle. We had such a laugh when we were on it. We had great conversations. The girls were on one too. Just the whole process, the blowing up of the thing as well. Everything was, for me, just a perfect tuition to going into it, which is why I bought one. It's almost straight away when we got back. It's like, right, I'm doing it.
I love it. One of my absolute most memorable moments from this trip happened on the paddleboard. And I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So, like you said, the girls were on Olive's board and they were, you know, paddling away again, having their own experience. We were on ours, having our own conversations. It was nice. We were all, you know, kind of together doing this thing together, but we really were having, again, like our own little vacations. Yeah. And it was kind of icky. You know, the heat wave was making the water kind of algae-ish. It was a little green and, you know, going in wasn't something. Well, normally I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever. If you fall in, you fall in. But you also did have your Cartier glasses that I was so, I was like really worried about. So I don't really want to go in today.
Yeah.
And so I was pretty nervous because I know how easily it happens. A boat goes by and it kind of shoves you a little and then all of a sudden you're dumping in. But we managed to not, and we, you know, had gone all the way down the canal from Treptow Park up towards Friedrichshain, saw this, you know, iconic bridge from the water, which I think is always just so amazing. Yeah. The sculpture in the water we got to see as well. And then, you know, we're heading back. It's a long day. It's hot out. We're going to go hit up this beer garden and chill. No incident to speak of. Everyone's remained on the board. And you and I are just laughing and having a great time. And we hear the splash behind us and look back. And Olive is in the water. And we lose it. We are laughing so hard. Bobby is still sitting up on the paddleboard, safe and dry. And Olive's, you know, clamoring her way back up onto the board. And she gets back up and the mood just like changes. There's a total change of the air and I felt it. And you, I look at you and you're in a panic, but like you're frozen.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what is happening right now?
It's honestly, when you people are struck dumb, you have that expression, struck. I was struck. The fear was right through me. And all I could do was try and point and make myself understood. It was unbelievable. I couldn't get the words. I couldn't get the words out of what I wanted to say.
Kat, at one point, you yelled shark.
Yes.
And that was actually the moment, you know, I knew there wasn't a shark, but in my head, I was like, danger. It worked. You got the point across, right? And I turn around and the girls are just blissfully ignorant, still laughing, giggling. Olive's like getting herself back up. We both start yelling. We're screaming at both of them, hey, girls, and they just start laughing harder because they think we're just, oh, ha, 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 laughing and giggling. And it wasn't until I realized I got to switch on the mom voice. I didn't even think about it, right? It just happened. And I said, Olive Claire. And she shot up. I mean, it was like she had a rod in her spine.
Yeah.
Her posture changed, her face changed. She looked at me and we both scream and point behind them. Boat! And we're not talking like some little canoe or like even a speedboat, right? Like
this is
like a massive freaking passenger ship.
It was honestly this is big gray metal like thing coming towards the girl. I mean, like it was meters away from them. That was the thing. And going back to what you just said when you said Olive Claire, I think her reaction. Obviously, this must be your emergency like word when you really need her to listen to you because we couldn't get their attention any other way. It's just really, I need something like that in my life as well.
And then the girls look back and they see, and you know, of course, like everyone on the boat is German and, you know, they didn't have like flags on their t-shirts or something. Just their reaction to me, which is basically like, whatever.
Yeah, nonchalant. I'm like trying to wave at the driver going, there's kids here. I'm sure he might, I don't know if he saw that, but they didn't, they were so passive. They were just like, yes.
And I heard, I realized now he had it in reverse.
Yeah.
He had thrown it into reverse to slow down. I mean, it still wasn't going to be enough. They were too close.
Really?
It wasn't going to be enough. They were way too close. And so, you know, then they both realize, right? And they're paddling and they're getting off to the side. And it was totally fine. But once they were safe, we all just died from laughter. I mean, we collapsed. And I think people on the shore who were, I didn't even realize there was anyone else in that moment. It was just us, right?
Yeah.
And then after it all passes, I start looking around and I see the people on shore and they looked a little startled.
This feeling of, you know, do we look irresponsible? Is it irresponsible to allow our children to be... I mean, this is danger. I mean, literally at that point, I was terrified that they were going to get sucked under a boat, like a ship, you know?
Yeah, a ship. A boat is certainly not yet.
It was a ship, definitely a ship.
And, you know, Olive, like, she has not mentioned it again. They are like, she's just like, I mean, yeah, if I bring it up, like, oh yeah, how funny, haha. Yeah. But like... whatever.
Yeah. I've never been not in that way. Speech. I couldn't get the word. Couldn't find the word boat.
Shark.
Shark. It's like, no way. And they're still laughing. It's still ineffectual. It wasn't enough, you know.
Yeah.
Waving our arms around, trying to get the attention. And then
I am crying right now.
When they start, Olive started to real paddle really hard to get out of the way.
Oh yeah.
I mean, obviously they made it.
But, you know, and I still think the best part for me, even after that, so like, you know, we do this bike ride, we're hanging out at Tempelhoferfeld, which is one place that I actually think is very, very cool. And it is very Berlin vibe. And I think it's a really neat thing. Mm. And I was glad that you know, got to see that. And we came home and we were just, you know, hanging out on the balcony. And you said, you know, I had a nightmare last night. And I just don't understand it. And I said, well, what was it? And you said, well, there was this giant fish, which when we were on this paddle boat, we saw this ship that was... I think Moby Dick.
Yes.
It was like shaped like a ship, right? Or like a fish.
Yeah, it was painted with these big shark teeth all across.
Yeah, it had these big teeth.
That was before the big boat.
That was before the big boat, right? You were telling me about this dream and you're trying to dissect it. Like, well, what do you think it means? And I said, well, how big was the fish? Well, I don't know. It was just there. And it was almost like metal. And I go, do you think it's that boat that almost ate the kids? You were like, oh my God.
See, that connection. It was a great adventure. Actually, I haven't spoken to Bobby about it. I'm going to ask her about it today, just to sort of see what her memory is of this story, you know, how it sits with her. Probably
Definitely.
Nothing at this age, though. It's probably like, no, don't remember.
But I guess to kind of wrap it all up, I'm so glad. I don't believe in coincidences. Whenever anybody says, oh, what a coincidence, I'm like, I don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. I think everything has some kind of purpose. And I completely feel that way about us meeting. And at the time, I probably thought it was because I really needed a break. And so, you know, I needed Bobby. Oh, my God, did I need that kid. I was so grateful for her that week. Olive needed her.
Yeah.
Well, I can't tell you how... happy I am. It could have just ended there and it would have been a great story. It would have been a great vacation. It would have been a great experience.
Yeah.
But I am so glad that it didn't. Mm. And I'm so glad that we got to have this, you know, Berlin edition of our friendship.
Yeah, definitely.
Now I would say we're pretty solid friends.
Yes.
We're going to be stuck with each other for some time.
Oh, I agree. Honestly, and I have to say this because, you know, you're someone I do not want to lose or miss. I really, really, really enjoy our relationship, our friendship. Yeah.
Same.
I learn a lot from you. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey guys, we hope you're enjoying the show. If you haven't already, head over to reroutingpod.com and sign up for the newsletter. Subscribers receive exclusive updates from Deep and I and are the first to know when there's a new episode out. That's reroutingpod.com. Enter your email and we'll make sure you don't miss a thing.
I walk walking down just alone in the street. I have that feeling that things going down for me. I have to sit down, breathe now, free my mind. I took a million, million steps, but still so blind. But now I see these bright lights, glorious sunrise. I just close my eyes, charge myself with love, flying doves above. I rerun my mind. We keep it on, keep on rolling away. It's time for more when we just change the game that we play. So we just rerouting, 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 okay. We know that we want, so we sailing away. We keep it on, keep on rolling away. It's time for more when we just change the game that we play. So we just rerouting, 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 okay. We know that we want, so we sailing away. Wondering when the time will come. Days are just going by, still on the run. I took the rough way, they say, oh, you're blind. But they don't see what I'm seeing, it's on my mind. And now I see these bright lights, glorious sunrise. I just close my eyes, charge myself with love, flying doves above. I rerun my mind. We keep it on, keep on rolling away. It's time for more when we just change the game that we play. So we just rerouting, 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 okay. We know that we want, so we sailing away. We keep it on, keep on rolling away. It's time for more when we just change the game that we play. So we just rerouting, 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 okay. We know that we want, so we sailing away.
Welcome back to another week of rerouting. Let's hear it.
Let me tell all the people.